Welcome to CTRM Radio, a podcast from Commodity Technology Advisory, the leading analysts in commodity technologies. Hosted on CTRMcenter.com, the place for everything CTRM. Now, if you enjoy CTRM Radio, would you please subscribe to our YouTube channel and like and share this podcast? It would help us out a lot. Thank you. In this episode, we will be talking about how new technologies are impacting CTRM solutions from cloud through microservices, workflow and automation to artificial intelligence. Earlier this year, I was talking to Jan van den Brom, CEO of Agibu, and he told me how he thought new technology would potentially drive a revolution in CTRM software. It wasn't any one particular technology, he told me, but the combination of all of them that made him believe this. I had to agree, as from our vantage point as analysts and advisors, we do see how new technologies are being used to drive the evolution of CTRM solutions, whether legacy or new entrants. To probe that a bit further, we talked to three senior software professionals about how they are utilizing new technology in their CTRM evolution strategies. Let's start with Syed Patel at Core. Core is working on what it calls Project Evolution right now to provide a new technology layer over its older CTRMs like FinTrade and Trinity that can also act as a way to integrate any new acquisitions the company makes in the future. Here's what he had to say about this approach.
Yeah, thank you so much, Gary, for the invitation. And my name is Syed Patel. I'm the CPTO at the Core Group. And this is a really exciting subject to share, you know, our expertise and experience that we're going through. And at the Core Group, we acquired two key CTRM solutions, which are really based on old tech, functionally very rich. And most of our clients are very happy with the products that they have. Yet it's all based on very old tech, and it's very hard to actually get data out of it in terms of getting powerful insights around the data. Now, for example, dashboards, workflow, which is very key in terms of getting some insights around the underlying data, is simply not there. And what we've also seen for clients is the need to have more KPIs, metrics around the whole transaction flow. And they want that in smart visualizations and be able to have holistic solutions as well, where you're bringing data together across not just physical trades, but also derivatives in a consolidated risk view. And also the driver behind having smarter tech is also having real-time risk management solutions. Mm-hmm. So our approach at Core Group is that we've got a technology suite here, which is all tech. And how do we take that into this journey? And we've taken a more pragmatic approach. We've created a shared data platform using latest industry standards around REST API and OData. And having a standardized, first of all, data model between the two platforms, bringing that data into a data lake, and then using effectively a UX UI as a wrapper, using latest technologies of service-based architecture. React is the technology that we've chosen for, is to then really bring that data together into a powerful web-based front-end platform, and creating very smart, compelling dashboards, which are self-serving BI dashboards, but also very pre-configured user personas based on user personas based on subject matter expertise that we put together across different functions, whether it's front office trader dashboards, whether it's smart dashboards for the operations logistics team, or back office. And that's the journey that we're going through. And the product that we've created is Evolution. We're launching an MVP into the market in H2 of this year. And it ensures that we're taking a very pragmatic approach. We're not here changing the CTRM solution overnight. It's actually taking it through the journey. And importantly, it's making sure that we're collaborating with our customers on this. And that's, then they're not looking for a wholesale change, wherever they're looking to swap out a product that really functionally works well with them, but it needs to move to the next generation in terms of tech.
Yeah, and is this sort of going to result in an all new version ultimately of the underlying products?
Ultimately, yes. But that's going to be some time off, though, Gary. What we see is this is going to be an add-on that's going to be there to our clients in terms of the platform. But all the time, we're going to be remediating specific modules and functionality within the underlying product. And over time, there will be a much more richer new technology stacks which our clients can embrace.
And this new technology incorporates more use of things like workflow and that kind of thing. So it brings more benefits to the end user.
Absolutely. And the data analytics side of this is also very powerful because we've got a functionally rich platform with very powerful data across the trade lifecycle. But it's you know, providing those powerful insights. And we're looking to bring in also at a later stage AI and machine learning, particularly around risk analytics. Very keen to bring in some very smart solutions as we grow the platform.
In terms of AI, what role do you guys see AI playing in the future with respect to CTRM?
It's a great question. And we've been actually identifying areas where we can really enrich our product capabilities. And I'll share with you two areas. One is around being able to bring in really unstructured data to give some very powerful insights around the market. For example, if you're trading crude oil and you've got logistics requirements around the Red Sea area at the moment, to layer that information with news data with regards to events that are taking place, but you're doing that in a very compelling way that it's extracting key elements of intelligence in the marketplace, and being able to bring that into your cockpit view for the trader to assist them in terms of their trader decisions. I think supporting trading strategy through beyond providing not just transactional data, but also non-transactional data. And this could be news data and other intelligence, market intelligence that can bring into play. That's one aspect that we're looking at in terms of how we can enrich the data that we're providing in terms of trading decision-making processes. The other area is around risk analytics, and it's really to use adaptive AI models with regards to how we're running VAR risk scenarios, stress testing positions, and being able to look at large data sets, both historically, but also things based on AI's the very nature of using adaptive models, look at other external factors that perhaps haven't been defined and identified, but bringing that into play in terms of being able to put some very smart predictive analysis around risk. So I said risk analytics is a big area, I think, where AI and machine learning could really help. And it's really to unravel the complexities around large data sets that you're holding, being able to then make informed decisions, particularly during high periods of market volatility.
Okay, and I guess the last question would be, the evolution, does that allow you to put those applications in the cloud and make use of cloud capabilities properly?
Absolutely. And we've seen great traction in the marketplace where customers now want a low-cost solution, and SaaS cloud is the strategy that we've embraced. And we see that as a really a key enabler in terms of making traction into the marketplace.
Super. Thanks very much.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Gary.
I also spoke with Saurabh Goyal of Flow Systems. I know that Saurabh has had much experience in the last few years working with new technologies and trying to apply them to building a new commercial ERP and CTRM solution suite. This experience is invaluable, so I asked Saurabh if he would share the things they learned in the process and where he thinks new tech, as it relates to CTRM, might be heading. Flow Systems has now a number of solutions on the market in areas like CTRM, as well as other areas of the business, and it has momentum in the industry on its SaaS platform.
So yeah, very happy to share my experience. And before I started Flow Systems, I was head of technology for CTRM systems for a large commodity trader. And as part of that role, we developed a lot of applications, but they were developed like in a very traditional, conservative technology stack, yeah, including a database and a front end, which was like sometimes client heavy front end, which requires an executable program to run on your machine before you can start using it, etc., etc. So that was the old school way of doing things, which used to work. I mean, it may not be very efficient, it may not be very glamorous looking, but it used to work fine. Mm-hmm. And that was the time when all the cloud-based applications were coming along. Blockchain was coming along as one of the major disruptive technology. And we got kind of seduced by that. And when I started my company, we decided that we will develop applications purely on cloud. And also we will try to use blockchain as the core engine of all of our transactions and the way transaction management is done. So we had mixed results over there. I mean, blockchain was very interesting and exciting to start working on. We actually did a few POCs with some large banks. And we also got a significant amount of investment to tinker with these technologies. And after working for about a year on blockchain, where we experimented with multiple technologies, actually, we worked with Hyperledger, which was being promoted by IBM. We worked on the Ethereum blockchain, and we also looked at the Bitcoin blockchain and see whether that can be used for some of our activity. Eventually, we did most of the work on the Hyperledger platform. Yeah. And we also actually did work on another platform called Corda, which is promoted by another vendor. After working and spending a lot of time, cost and effort for a year, we realized that we are chasing the wrong tool here, because the technology was too difficult to understand, too cumbersome to implement, too expensive to be used, and it was simply not ready for the kind of use cases we were trying to do. But these were the usual problems which could have been resolved over a period of time if the technology continues to evolve. Yeah. The fundamental problem we realized was that it is that we are just trying to fix a square peg in the round hole. And eventually we came to realize, and this is the opinion of not just me, but several other people who have been working in this area since then, that the original paper which Satoshi Nakamoto wrote about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin as the cryptocurrency for a non-regulated environment, and the mechanisms which he promoted or suggested in order to enable Bitcoin, that mechanism collectively is known as blockchain today. Mm-hmm. And therefore, in our opinion, you cannot separate Bitcoin with that mechanism which Satoshi Nakamoto proposed. And that mechanism works only for one use case, which is Bitcoin or any other similar cryptocurrency. So separating the technology with the use case was a fundamental error, which I think we made and many other people made. And trying to use that technology for a use case other than cryptocurrency is not really going to work, unless you dilute a lot of principles behind the cryptocurrencies and then you convert it into something altogether different. So I think that is the fundamental realization we had, that what we call as blockchain is going to work only if you are planning to develop a new kind of cryptocurrency. And since that was not our use case, we were only trying to facilitate commodity trading and trade finance, we eventually realized that this is not going to work for us. And then we started focusing purely on the cloud-based multi-tenancy kind of a architecture to develop our applications. But since then, we have made good progress. And now, thankfully, we have not one, but three systems which are commercialized, and they're all based on multi-tenant cloud-based architecture. So yes, out of the two technologies we tinkered with, one was not as successful, but one was pretty useful, and we are continuing with that.
So how much of the commodity technology trading problem are you able to address in that environment? And have you employed things like workflow, artificial intelligence, or any of the those buzz terms that we hear a lot of now?
Yeah, yeah. So multi-tenant cloud-based structure actually works very well for commodity traders and the kind of commodity traders we work with. Because a commodity trader typically has a multi-country organization where they may have origin countries where they are securing, where they are procuring goods from, and then they will have a marketing location. They may have a headquarter where all the P&L is generated and all the contracts are passed through. So having this organization structure replicated into their ERP system with proper data controls, where members of one sub-organization cannot view private data of another organization, is very important. In the initial days, the way it used to kind of being implemented in an IT architecture is that each company in a different country will have their own ERP or CTRM systems, and then you will build a data layer on top of all these companies to aggregate the data and to generate your aggregated reports, which are required by senior managers. But that approach is quite cumbersome, quite expensive. It works only for large organizations, which can spend hundreds of millions on an exhaustive data lake or a data warehouse kind of a project. And it does not work for small traders. And the traders we work with are usually like medium-sized traders working across four or five locations, trading four or five commodities, and they want a consolidated view as well as the individual view of each company. So multi-tenancy fits very well over there, because the entire concept of multi-tenancy is that you can, in the same tenant, that is in the same, let's say, server, you can have multiple companies running, and these companies can share the same infrastructure and the same database with proper segregation and access rules for each one of the users. So thankfully, that architecture works very well for our customers, without the need for them to have another layer on top to aggregate the data and generate consolidated reports. So that is the story with the multi-tenancy that we found very useful. And the very fact that it is based on cloud, for consumption on cloud, ensures that there is no on-premise implementation, and therefore all these locations can go live sometimes in one big push, rather than doing piece by piece implementation in each country. So that has worked very well. In terms of AI, our initial experiments were not very successful. For example, we were using simple use cases like uploading all your invoices and packing list, and the system will be able to extract the information and automatically populate the forms, which is not a very very extensive or a very clever use case, but a very useful use case for users to save their time. But even with those kind of things, we were finding that the state of the art, which 5 years ago, was to use tools like, say, Amazon Textract, which are machine learning tools, which can look into PDF extracted information, and then you can use that information back into your system. But they were very cumbersome in the way that you had to do a lot of data mapping over there physically. So every time your formats of the documents which you are uploading changes, or there are changes in the visual way in which data is located across those documents, there was a lot of mapping which a software engineer would have to do on top of these so-called machine learning tools, which made it not that effective because it required continuous tinkering. So our experiment with so-called machine learning was not that exciting at that time. But since ChatGPT has come in, and OpenAI, which is the company behind ChatGPT, has made available its APIs for software vendors like us to connect to, we are finding that that process has become extremely easy. Now, irrespective of what kind of document we have and what kind of format it has, ChatGPT and generative AI are smart enough to look at the content of the document which you're uploading. And from the contextual information of the content, they're able to label information correctly almost 100% of the time. So there's no need for a software engineer to do data mapping, saying that field one is this and field two is that. The system, the AI system itself is able to understand that and label it correctly. So we have been using OpenAI now quite extensively. Almost since the first time they came up with their APIs, we have been subscribing to it, and we are using it for multiple use cases, the simplest one being uploading the document and extracting information. But now we are using it for even slightly more complex use cases where, for example, we have a solution for customs declaration where you can upload your documents, but you can also ask questions such as, I'm trying to import, say, fresh tuna from Norway into UK, please help me do the customs declaration. And then with a little bit of training, the system, the AI system, is able to explain the user in the context of your application that in order to do this declaration, you have to go to this screen and enter this information, then come out and go to this screen and enter this information. So yeah, so we are finding it quite useful as a customer onboarding tool and a training tool. So yeah, so our experiments with AI has been quite successful. I would say our experiments with OpenAI has been quite successful. We haven't tested other large language models, but the expectation is that once Microsoft has a good share of this market, they will increase the prices, and at that time, companies like us would start looking at alternatives. So the good thing is that there are already many other large language models available in the market. They are not as commercial as OpenAI, but experts say that they are probably as good as OpenAI, and with time, they will probably become even better. So there is enough competition in the market for us to not be dependent on Microsoft going forward.
And so you've been able to bring to market several applications. What has been the customer reaction to those apps?
So it depends. I mean, we have not been able to make this being used in a large organization. So we have some large customers now, though we started with a base of SMEs, we have some large customers now. And for large customers, their biggest concern is they don't want to use anything related to OpenAI because they believe that the information about their organization would be sent to OpenAI and that could be misused. Mm-hmm. So none of our OpenAI plugins have been used by large organization. A small organization who are not really concerned as of today on the privacy issues, they have been extremely happy with the use cases. But that again at a operational level. So people who enter data, people who use the system, they have been quite happy with it. But senior managers, senior executives, they are still kind of debating the pros and cons of sharing information with OpenAI versus the operational efficiency it gives to their operational users. So I think that debate is still on, but operational users are extremely happy with these kind of use cases.
Okay, and in just generally then with things like TradeFlow, what do you see as the reaction to the app at that level, in the sense that it's multi-tenanted in the cloud, it's modern technology, incorporates aspects of these kinds of technologies? How do people respond to it?
So again, the responses are two types. I mean, a small organization is very happy to adopt these technologies and they understand the benefits of cloud. There is still a slight apprehension about data privacy. In terms of when you enter some information on a cloud-based system, what does the vendor do with that information? And is there a potential that information can be shared with their competitors, et cetera, et cetera? That apprehension is there, but that apprehension is not that is strong with the small companies. That apprehension is extremely strong with large companies, and therefore, yes, the uptake with larger companies is still not up to the extent where we will feel happy about it. They sometimes ask us to do a carved out implementation of our system on their private cloud rather than using our public cloud. And same about OpenAI. Now we are talking about information shared not just with us as a vendor, but also a third party vendor, which is OpenAI. And yes, there are technologies and there are ways to prevent that data and camouflage that data or to encrypt that data. But making the customers understand the technology behind how your data is protected can be a difficult exercise at times. Yes.
Yeah. And finally, I guess the question would be, I've had talked to people over the last few months who have said, you know, that we've got a paradigm shift coming in terms of CTRM and what we can do with CTRM because of the technologies. Do you agree with that? And how far away is the reality of an all singing, all dancing, easy to implement CTRM, do you think?
Well, let me start with a slightly different approach. So just a few days back, we have now bought Copilot licenses for all of our users across the organization. And Copilot is completely integrated with all your Microsoft tools. So, for example, this meeting we are doing on Zoom, but if you would have been doing this meeting on Teams, then at the end of the meeting, Teams would have, the Copilot tool underneath Teams would have created a full summary of our meeting. including action items and some insights, and you could ask it to do anything else. You could say that, please publish a blog article based on my discussion with Saurabh today, and it would have done a fairly good job of it. Or you could have asked that, please create 5 action items out of our meeting today and create Outlook meeting invites in the next 5 months for us to follow it up. Yeah. And it would have done that job. So yes, we are already seeing the impact of generative AI on our day-to-day work. In the specialized context of ERP systems or enterprise systems, or in the very special context of CTRM systems, the first changes would be on the UI side of things, or user efficiency side of things, where things like getting the data directly from documents, or even getting the data from your emails. For example, if you're a trader, if you've done some contract, agreed on it over an email with your counterparty, and you interface that email with your CTRM system via a generative AI kind of a plugin, then it is possible that the contract can be automatically created in the system. Mm-hmm. So those kind of data entry, I think, issues would be the first to we'll see some use cases over there. Next would be data analytics. So as of today, writing reports is a major headache. Some of the vendors have not even given access to the database to their customers. So every time you need to write a report, you have to go back to a vendor. Yep. Even if you have access to a database, because the data structure is so complicated, you need to have like a proper business analyst to understand the reporting requirement, translate into complex SQL, and then generate the reports. So the next impact, I think, would be in data analytics, where the user can simply enter their information requirement in plain English, and the system will, in the context of your database structure, generate the necessary SQL queries, execute it, and present it back to you. So that would be the next kind of use cases we would see. But I believe that the real kind of impact would be something which we have not thought about, and that is still to be seen.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that the entire interface in which people interact with the enterprise system might change. Currently, it is all forms based, where you enter information in specific fields and then you get output in specific formats. And that all could change, because if you have a generative AI which can just understand what you need, and it can just take all the unstructured data, which is your emails and documents and conversations, and still give you the same kind of output which you expect from an ERP system, then the entire interface between the user and the ERP system can be subjected to change. Exactly how that will pan out, we don't know. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this time it is different. Though every time a new technology comes, we think that this time it is different. but with generative AI, I think we can already see how it is different in many of the use cases. Yes.
Finally, I talked with David Myers at Enuit, as it too is working on Entrade 7, which will represent a significant redo of its popular CRM software product. I asked him what Enuit was doing, why, and what sort of benefits they expected.
You use the word revolution or revolutionary. I think I would probably drop the R and just call it evolutionary.
Yeah.
And the idea is that technology's changed. We had a pretty good run with the Windows and the C# .NET infrastructure technology platforms, frameworks for development, and they worked really well for us. And 10 years, I think it actually may have had more like a 20-year run, because if you start the early 2000s. That whole thing began running up. And by and large, I believe that most large companies were okay with that platform up until about 2020. And that seemed to signal, according to Patrick Reams, who I talked to some time ago about this, it was probably 6 months ago, asked his opinion about it. And he said, the old-timer CIOs have retired. And so a new sheriff is in town. We have a younger generation of CIOs, or at least people making decisions about tech. And the new generation is not, they're not satisfied with the old technology. The question in their mind is, why am I spending precious capital resources on something that's antiquated, something that's already past prime. And instead, the equation in their mind is, I should buy something that has newer technology. Well, the problem is, and here's the trade-off, you have older technology, deeper functions, and you have newer technology, shallower functions.
Yeah.
And, software, it's just natural, right?
Yeah.
And so the trade-off is, from the old CIOs, well, I can get deeper functions with the old technology, and I can live with that because I can still host in the cloud, I can still emulate these, the user interface with Windows, even though it's not true cloud or true web, I can use Citrix or something like that to do an emulation. Well, now you have the newer generation, they're saying, it's got to be cloud, it's got to be hosted, and the interface has to be completely true web, it's good technology platforms, so it has to be, all the layers of the application support. But if it's shallower, I can live with that because over time the vendor will be making improvements. That's the big assumption, right? Yeah. And that may be a little bit of a gamble. So, as vendors go. So the at Inuit, we have the older technology and the deeper function, and our objective is to get across this chasm to the newer user interfaces. Technologies without losing all of that deep function. And so that's really what we're going after. And we're making strides. What we decided to do was between version 6, which is the Windows version, and version 7, which is the web version, we're not going to change the database. Okay, we're just going to keep everything static such that you can use version 6 and version 7 in the same implementation.
Right.
Okay, it's just different technologies pulling off the same common database. We have different layers for these new web applications, the API layers and so forth that get you down to dealing with the core engine. So we're separating, basically we're creating a NoSQL layer on top of our SQL layer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that you can use both the newer version and the older version simultaneously. What that gets us is we can start swapping out parts of our application with the newer technology and go piecemeal through the functional chain bit by bit. And what that does is it allows any customer that selects Inuit to enjoy deeper functions today with the promise of the web technologies tomorrow. So that's the strategy.
Now, I know that you're adopting a certain sort of design philosophy around dashboards that are user specific. Tell me a little bit about that, because that's also interesting.
Yeah, so I hate to use the word cockpit because of the triple point relationship there. But when you get into a car, when you get into any sort of automobile, there are various indicators that are, an airplane is just filled with all sorts of indicators, right? And what are these, what's the importance of indicators? Well, they indicate something, here's the altitude, here's the velocity, here's, something. And and the purpose of the indicator is to alert you to something, right? Something that requires your attention and even has beeping noises if some requires your immediate attention, right? So the idea of our dashboard is to approximate or presuppose what sort of questions, what sort of indicators a specific type of user of the system might need in order to better do his job function without having to wade through all this data and figure it out for himself. Bring the answers to the person. So our web application will be what's called persona based. So a persona is some sort of trader. Could be LNG trader, coal trader, crude trader, whatever. And then there's a market risk function, a persona, and there's a scheduler persona, there's a settlements persona, maybe a financial accountant persona, credit persona. There's a bunch of different personas is a description of what that person's job function is. And then based upon that persona, we can anticipate what sort of questions or what sort of information, but let's say information, which is processed data, right?
Yeah.
information that may be required for that person to better do his job function. What questions does that person regularly ask himself? There's a credit function, you know, are these people credit worthy? You know, how many days in arrears have their last accounts payable been? For a trader, what's my positions? And, who are more active customers? Who have I traded with recently? Where is my biggest margin, profit margin when I trade with so-and-so? Those are kind of questions that it would be nice to know. But just in terms of processing, here's my active draft trades, and I submit them, and did they get approved, and did they make it through the whole approval process? For a market risk function, you might want to know what my P&L attribution is every day so that you can tie out the end of day. You want to know what your positions are. You want to know if you've got missing settlement prices. Yeah. Value risk calculations are, you want to be able to see histograms and graphs and stuff. So those are just typical ideas of what a persona, we're anticipating what these indicators on each of these persona dashboards might look like or might need to be. And we anticipate that our initial version will be not a bad out of the chute sort of a version, but we anticipate that there will be ideas that are generated while we demonstrate the product to potential customers, and as we implement for new customers and even older customers, what sort of things they would like to see. And we hope that what we've done is create a mental model of things, the typical questions, so that they can now join us in improving the product by increasing the number of indicators that may be relevant to their job function. So that's the idea.
And what do you see as we talked about the shift in age of the person procuring the solution and their expectations, but what do you think that the benefits really come with the new technology? What are they? Have you any thoughts on that at this stage?
Yeah, I think there is a benefit. Probably the biggest benefit is scalability. Even the Windows architecture, you still have a single database, there appears to be some scaling limitation. Even back in the days when right? I mean, we had just small LANs and so forth, but basically a client server, and there was definitely, you had to buy the biggest honking server just to be able to, 50 people, right? And there was no way to scale except add processor boards to the Sun Spark station servers or whatever that you use as a backend. And then client server separated that, or not client server, the NTR architecture, that kind of separated. But there still was some scalability issues with the newer technologies, with the messaging architectures, and being able to replicate services more easily, support the client API layer. I think that scalability may be the biggest advantage. If you go to a shop that has 200 or 300 users, active users of the system, and there are those out there, that becomes a huge nightmare. To the point where, as you know, this is several of my illustrious competitors, they have to lock out all the users just to run to end of day, right? And end of day may take 8 hours or all night long, right? Right. So yeah, but to lock everybody out so that you can do the nobody's cracked the nut under the older technologies. Even the Endure platform with its architecture, which is actually many decades ahead of its time in terms of theoretically, but even though technologies that you use were older, it still is not going to work. It still has its own scaling problems. And now with the hosted cloud solutions, you can scale up. You can dynamically add processors and then scale back down and use your technology bandwidth a little bit more cost effectively. So there's advantages, mostly in the scaling, I think.
Right. So just to finish up then, when will the new version or parts of the new version be ready for market?
We are actually beginning to release March 31st of this year the trading and market risk elements of a new dashboard to one of our existing clients that is implementing in trade for another part of their business. And so that's going to be, let's say, we'll test drive the whole thing through the process. We anticipate, you know, it's going to be bumpy ride, I'm sure. But everything looks pretty good so far. But, you know, until you get in there and really road test the thing, you know, you can't be too sure about how things are going to end up. But luckily, this is a very good client and good customer, patient, and they worked with us for the last, what, 6 or 7 years. And so the relationship is strong enough to possibly survive some of the bumps down the road.
Well, everywhere that we look, new technologies are changing the CTRM and related software arena. This is shifting the way that CTRM looks, feels, and behaves, and it should have a positive impact across the industry. Increasingly, we are likely to see AI deployed as well in the future to aid users and perhaps even to change the entire paradigm of how we interact with CTRM software. Exciting times. This has been an episode of CTRM Radio, a podcast from Commodity Technology Advisory LLC, hosted on ctrmcenter.com. We hope that you found it interesting. Thank you to our guests and to you for watching. Goodbye.